tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, we hear the Eddie Cantor Show, but right now, the Jack Benny program. In the twilight of his career on radio, this CBS broadcast from April 24th, 1955.
The Jack Benny program. Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, once a week, the Beverly Hills Beavers have a meeting to discuss matters pertaining to the good and welfare of the club. As we look in on them now, one of their meetings is in progress.
Now, the motion before the House is, resolved that the Beavers spend their treasury consisting of $13.72 on a party. Or, instead of a party, we should put the money in the bank and save it. We will first hear arguments in favor of having the party. You, Joey, may have the floor.
I think we should have the party because they're fun. We all had a good time at our last party.
Yeah, but at this one, let's not have any girls.
What are you talking about, Jimmy? At the last party, the way you carried on with Kathy...
She did all the carrying on, Harry. I wanted to sit with the rest of you fellows, but Kathy led me into a dark corner where the lights were low.
Gee, what happened?
She ate my ice cream.
Well, I think girls are fun at a party.
I don't know. I agree with Jimmy. The last party, we fellows wanted to go out and play tag, or hide-and-go-seek and baseball. But the girls made us play post office.
Oh, boy, was that disgusting.
Look, fellas, let's decide first whether we're going to have the party or save the money. Then we can decide whether we want girls or not.
But if we want the party, what are we going to have to eat?
Oh, the usual thing. Popcorn, Cracker Jack, or Henry bars, peanuts, chocolate caramels, popsicles, jelly apples, Dad's old-fashioned root beer, marshmallows, and ice cream.
What do we have for dessert?
Look, fellas, first let's settle where we're going to have the party. Then we'll discuss the details. We have heard discussion in favor of spending the money in our treasury on a party. Now we will hear from the other side.
Well, I think... I think we ought to put the money in the bank. Fellow Beavers, while I'll admit that parties are fun, you've got to be practical and save money. And compared to money, parties are
Inconsequential.
Yes. Inconsequential.
I-N-C-O...
I know how to spell it. Now, look, kids, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a good time, too. I was young once myself. Well, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have parties with girls and everything.
Gee, did they have girls in those days?
Sir. Now, look, fellas, if you want to have a party, I'll show you I'm a good sport. We can have the party at my house.
Fine. I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second the motion.
I'm glad we got the meeting over early so I could walk home. Gee, the boys were cute today discussing the party. I'll never forget the first party I ever attended when I was a kid. I met a girl there named Betsy, and boy, did I have a crush on her. And after that party, I never saw Betsy again. I understand she was busy making a flag or something. Sometimes I think that the... Oh, I better get out of the way of the man riding up on the horse there.
Hello, Mr. Beanie.
Why, Mr. Kitsa! Mr. Kitzel, what are you doing on that horse?
Oh, this I do occasionally for the exercise.
Well, it seems a pleasant way of working out.
Working out, yes. Pleasant, no?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, when the horse is going down, I'm going up. And when the horse is coming up, I'm coming down. And when we are coming together, it's not exactly inconsequential.
Inconsequential?
I-N-C...
I know how to spell it!
Look, Mr. Kitzel, is this your horse?
No, I'm renting him occasionally from a riding academy, but he's a very... easy, steady Mendel.
Mr. Kitzel, the horse's name is Mendel?
Only when I'm riding him.
Oh, I see.
Now, like I started to tell you, he's a very smart horse. You know, he's been on television, in movies, everything. Oh, he does many tricks. Just ask him, Mr. Benny, ask him, how much is 2 and 2?
Okay, tell me, horsey, how much is 2 and 2? Gee, that's wonderful. He really is a smart horse.
Oh, yeah, he earns about $15,000 a year.
Say, that ain't hay.
To him it is.
Yeah, gee, he's a nice looking horse. First time I've ever seen a horse with a mustache. You know? Mr. Kitzel, a horse is an amazing animal. It's so huge and tremendous, and yet the hair from its tail makes a thing as delicate as the bow for my violin.
Steady, boy. He didn't mean you personally. Well, I got to be galloping along.
Okay. It was nice seeing you again, Mr. Kitzel.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hi-ho, Mendel, away!
See, what a clever horse that was. Who'd ever think that Mel Blanc could count up to 4? Well, I better be getting home. Yes, Rochester. Any mail or phone calls?
Both. We got a bill from the phone company.
A bill from the phone company?
Yeah, for the month of May.
But this is only April.
It's for 1954.
We paid that in August.
That was 1952.
What happened in 1953?
They took the phone out.
What?
That's the year we used carrier pigeons.
Oh, yeah. But I had to stop that. Everybody in Pershing Square knew my business. Well, I think I'll go in the library and read a while.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Mr. Wilson is here to see you.
Don Wilson? Where is he?
Asleep in the den.
Asleep? Well, I'll go in and see him. Look at him lying there. The only room I've ever seen with wall-to-wall flab. Yeah, I wonder what he's dreaming about now. Look at that smile on his face.
Ava. Marilyn. Oh, Lana.
Oh, the chubby little rascal. Look what he's dreaming about.
You girls are so beautiful, I can't help noticing your hands.
Hands?
Gosh, the way you hold those lucky strikes.
You commercial. Can't he even dream sustaining? For heaven's sake.
L.S. M.F.T. L.S. M.F.T. Lucky strike means fine tobacco. Call.
Hey, listen to that.
And lucky strikes are toasted, too.
I've never seen anyone sleep with such a happy-go-lucky smile. You know, Rochester, dreams are funny. Did I tell you about the one I had last night?
No, what was it?
What a dream. You know, I dreamt I was shipwrecked on a desert island.
Huh?
And on this island, there was nothing but girls. Hundreds of the most beautiful girls you've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
What a dream. They formed a circle and danced around me, made me their king. Then night came.
And what happened?
Suddenly a sign flashed on saying, "Please stand by. Our picture has been temporarily interrupted." I don't know. When I dream about cowboys, I always finish them. Oh, well.
Want me to answer the phone, Mr. Benny?
Yes, please, Rochester.
Mr. Benny's residence.
Hello, Rochester. I'd like to speak to Mr. Benny. This is Sammy the drummer.
Just a second. Oh, Mr. Benny, it's for you. It's Sammy the drummer from your orchestra.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Sammy.
Say, Jack, would it be okay if Charlie Bagby missed the band rehearsal tomorrow?
Why, what's the matter with Charlie?
Well, he hasn't recovered from the accident he had on the fishing trip we took to Lake Mead last week.
I didn't know he had an accident. What happened?
He fell off the boat and disappeared under the water.
Disappeared under the water?
Yeah. We couldn't find him. We tried everything. We even baited a hook with a bottle of Old Crow, hoping he'd bite on it.
Hey, that ought to have trapped Charlie.
It didn't, though. All we caught was Frank Remley.
Wait a minute. Remley didn't fall in the water, too, did he?
He wasn't even on a boat. He swam in from Los Angeles.
I knew he could do it. It's wonderful to see Frankie do the Australian crawl across the Mojave Desert. Well, we'll try to rehearse without Bagby. So long, Sammy.
Goodbye. Oh, by the way, Jack, I want to thank you for lending me that the other night.
Oh, that's all right, Sammy. The next time, don't part it in the middle. You know. So long.
Want me to answer the door?
No, I'll get it. Oh, Mr. Sandman, let me finish my dream. The one on the island, I'll keep it clean.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Come on in. How you feeling, kid?
Fine. I came over to ask you a favor.
A favor?
Yeah, I'm on my way to buy a new suit, and I thought maybe you'd help me pick one out.
Dennis, you're a grown man. Surely you ought to know how to pick out a suit for yourself.
Well, I don't.
You don't? Haven't you ever bought a new suit before?
Not since I worked for you.
Now, wait a minute, Dennis. I pay you a good salary. What do you do with your money?
Oh, I've been saving it for a rainy day.
What?
In California, that can break you.
Look, Dennis.
Last January, I had to float alone.
Now, cut that! And stop with those jokes about rain in California. We need rain. If it didn't rain in California, what would happen to the crops?
What are you growing this year?
Right. Now dry your feet and let me hear the song you're going to do on the show Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Come on, you can accompany yourself on the piano in the den.
Hey, when did you get that big overstuffed sofa?
That's Don Wilson. Now go ahead and sing, will you? Dennis, Dennis, that was very, very good.
A lot you know about singing.
Oh, be quiet.
I thought it was good, too.
Oh, Don, Don, you're awake. No, Don, I can't understand why you came over to my house to sleep.
Well, Jack, that was really an accident. I came about something else.
Oh, what was it?
Well, I read something in one of the trade papers that might interest you. 20th Century Fox is making a big CinemaScope picture, and they're looking for someone...
A leading man? A leading man?
No.
A leading
no.
man?
No, no,
A leading
Jack.
Man?
Jack, they've already
man?
Got
a leading man.
Man?
Oh, oh.
They wanted me, but I didn't have a new suit.
Stop, will you?
Well, here, Jack, I brought the column over with me. You can read it yourself.
Let's see. Production is being held up on one of Fox's epics because the time of the picture is the early 20s, and they are unable to locate a very vital prop, a 1923 Maxwell. Mr. Zanuck will pay handsomely to anyone who can supply such a car. Oh, boy, that's the model I have, a late 1923 Maxwell. Am I in luck?
What are you going to do?
I'm going right over there with my car. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, Mr. Benny?
Get the car. We're going over to 20th Century Fox Studios.
Fox Studios? With pictures, I thought we were Auschwitz-Field.
Not me they want. It's my car. Come on, let's get going.
Yeah, but what about my suit?
We'll drop you off on the way to the studio. Do you want to come too, Don?
No, I'll just stay here and sleep.
Okay, come on, Dennis. Let's get in the car. Dennis, what kind of a suit do you want to get?
Well, something with two pair of pants. I can wear them both at once like my friend does.
Your friend wears two pairs of pants at once? What's his name?
Mendel. He's a horse.
Oh, yes, I met him this afternoon.
He counts better than I do.
I know, I know. Come on, get in the car. Okay, start the car, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if this causes smog or if smog causes this. Try it again, Rochester.
Yes,
sir. I wonder why it won't start.
Oh, it's my fault, Mr. Berry. I forgot to put in the clutch.
Rochester, where are you going?
To get the clutch.
Now, look, stop with the jokes and start the car, will you?
Yes, sir.
There, it's going. Now, turn here, Rochester, and then go straight down to Pico.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look at that.
What?
Up in the sky, that blue and gray pigeon with the thing tied to his leg.
No wonder Claudette didn't come to my party last year. She didn't get the invitation. Everybody from Pershing Square was there, but no Claudette.
Boss, the gateman let us drive right into the studio with the car.
Yeah, he said he'd phone the producer, Mr. Kearns, to tell him we were coming. That must be him over there signaling us to stop. Well, are you Mr. Kearns?
Oh, yes. Are you the man with the car?
That's right. Here it is.
Oh, wait a minute. This won't do at all. We want a Maxwell. And on this car, it says Lincoln.
He was the first owner.
Now, don't be so funny. That's a Lincoln hubcap we found, Mr. Kern.
Oh, well, then why are you using it for a door?
Because it fits. It fits. It's a 1923 Maxwell.
Oh, yes, so it is. So it is. Well, now, Mr. Benny, let's get down to business. Will $50 be all right?
Only 50? Make it 75 and it's a deal.
Oh, that's a lot of money for renting a car, $75 a day.
A day? I thought you wanted to buy it. I think 50 is a fair price.
Oh, good. Now, I'd like to hear how the motor sounds.
Rochester, start the car again, will you?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's good.
By the way, Mr. Kearns, what are you going to use my car for?
Well, when the picture opens, we see a shot of this car driving down the street, and Marilyn Monroe is sitting in it.
Marilyn Monroe? Rochester, the radiator blew its cap. See if you can fix it.
Well, the motor sounds okay. You can turn it off. Now, Mr. Benny, if you'll just sign this paper, we'll consummate the deal.
Okay, but what else are you going to do with my car in the picture?
Well, in the final scene, we're going to run it off a 1,000-foot cliff.
My car? You're going to run my car off a cliff?
Yes. You mean it hasn't already been done?
Certainly not. And I can't agree to a deal like that. This car's been with me so long, it's almost part of me. See, if this car were run off a cliff, it would be like, well, like me being pushed off a cliff.
That's a deal you should discuss with Warner Brothers.
Well, your deal might not be too bad. I think that I might consider...
Jack! Oh, what? Gosh, I've looked all over for you.
Why, Don?
Claudette Colbert got your invitation. She'll be at your party Saturday.
Well, what do you know? The pigeon finally made it. If he gets back in time, we'll have squab.
Hold still, Mr. Benny.
Look, I...
Please,
I want
Mr. Benny, don't talk till I'm finished taking your temperature and your pulse.
Now, look, Jack, you better not move or you'll disturb the splints.
How was I to know when the car went over the cliff I'd have to be driving it? Some people won't do for money. I think that's the silliest thing I... Hello? Oh, now, wait a minute. Well, okay, I'll be there.
Who was that, Jack?
Fox Studios. Tomorrow I do retakes. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Al Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks.
Jack Benny on Tune 2 Yesterday from April 24th, 1955, a CBS radio broadcast. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tune 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we enjoy Eddie Cantor's program known as It's Time to Smile from April 1st, 1942. On the same day, Cantor was part of the cast of the Command Performance series, which recorded their sixth episode for the Armed Forces Radio Service on that day, and was joined by Kay Kaiser and Merwin Bogue, better known as Ish Kabibble, from Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge. In this next broadcast, he's joined by comedian Bert Gordon, singers Dinah Shore, and special guest John Charles Thomas, and announcer Harry Von Zell.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol-Myers, the makers of Ipana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present... It's time to smile with Eddie Cantor.
My neighbor, it's time to smile.
Time to smile.
Time to smile and say,
I.
Ladies and gentlemen, to increase the output of foodstuffs, our government is urging private citizens to take up farming. Having bought himself a farm in Connecticut, we now bring you that great agriculturist who supplies you with corn every Wednesday night, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, Harry Von Zell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, I've fallen in love with my farm. I never knew what it was. The joys of nature. Think of it, Harry. Harry, think of it.
Yes?
2 weeks ago, I took a little seed. A little seed. I planted it in the earth, covered it up, tucked it in, nursed it day and night. And this morning at 3 a.m.?
Yes?
I became the proud father of a 2-pound cabbage.
Oh.
Have a cigar.
Eddie, and congratulations.
That's all right.
Now, what else have you accomplished on the farm?
Well, Harry, I've gone in for time-saving devices. For instance, I built the hen's nest 10 feet above the kitchen stove, and now I never have to wait for breakfast. You see, at 5 a.m., the alarm clock rings, the rooster crows, the hen wakes up and lays an egg right in the frying pan. Harry, it's beautiful. Look, the whole thing works like this.
Admit that is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, tell me this, does the hen ever miss the pan?
Does she? Where do you think I got this egg shampoo? You know, Harry, I feel sorry for that hen. She overworked herself something awful yesterday, and now, Harry, my hen is in the poultry hospital.
Oh, Eddie, in the poultry hospital? Why, what happened?
Well, there was a big fat rooster in the chicken coop, see?
Yes.
And my poor hen wanted to make an impression on him.
Oh, well, what did she do?
She flew 20 feet in the air and tried to lay enough eggs to spell out Pepsi-Cola.
No.
Yeah, she wrote Pepsi-Cola all right. But like a big show-off, she had to go back and try to dot the I. The poor hen was so exhausted, she collapsed and fell into a 6-foot ditch. I climbed down into it to pick her up, and, oh, Harry, it was so embarrassing when I tried to crawl out.
Why, Eddie?
As soon as I stuck my head out of the ditch, a little kid pointed at me and yelled to his mother, "Look, Ma, it's Groundhog Day."
Well, now, listen here, Eddie. That farm work, I'm afraid, is too strenuous for you. You ought to give it up.
Give it up, but why?
Well, why? You just don't look healthy enough to be a farmer.
What makes you say that?
Well, I heard that every time you dig a hole in the ground, somebody tries to lower you into it.
Yep. No. Harry, you'd be doing a wise thing if you bought a farm, believe me.
Oh, Eddie, how could I buy a farm? I've only got $500.
It's a deal. I'm selling you half interest of mine. Congratulations, partner. My buddy. My buddy.
Oh,
you're a partner. You're a partner.
Wait a minute, Eddie. I think...
Pardon me, Harry. Is that the phone? Hello? Eddie Cantor speaking.
Mr. Cantor, I'm calling from your farm.
What's up?
The cows in the meadow, the sheep's in the corn.
Who is this?
Little Boy Blue.
Now, Eddie, well, look here a minute.
Don't get excited, Harry. I tell you, we're going to make a lot of money.
Oh.
Why, right now, I'm growing 12 acres of expensive Chinese rice. Think of that. In China, rice is their second favorite in the planting season.
Second favorite? What do they like to plant more than rice?
Japs.
Oh.
Do me a favor and stop worrying, Harry. We're not only going to make money for ourselves, but also for the Army. You see, we've got a lot of high-class neighbors up in Connecticut, so I'm going to put on an opera in our barn and give the proceeds to the USO.
The USO?
Yeah. I'm going out right now and tell my agent to get the biggest opera stars available, and I'll pay them out of my own pocket.
Oh, well, say, that's very generous of you, Eddie. How much are you willing to pay?
Anything up to your $500.
Yeah, well, that's very generous of me. To save up that $500, I've had to work for that pop-eyed penny pincher since 1937. Oh, well, easy come, easy go. Anyway, it's for the Army. I wish we could get a big world-famous opera star like John Charles Thomas. And $500 isn't much to offer a guy like him. Maybe if I threw in 2 lumps of sugar. 2 lumps of sugar in the farm, in my piggy bank, and Cantor. No. No, I guess not. Maybe a big shot like John Charles Thomas would be impressed if I went up to him sort of dignified-like and said, "How do you do, sir? I'm Harry Von Zell."
"How do you do? I'm John Charles Thomas."
"Well, how do you... Huh?"
"Now, Mr. Von Zell, I heard about Cantor putting on a show for the USO, and I'm here to rehearse my song.
If you'll be good enough to introduce me to your conductor.
Yes, of course. Cookie Fairchild, come here. Cookie, this is John Charles Thomas.
John Charles Thomas. Do you mind if I call you Sam?
I wouldn't mind it at all, Gertrude.
Gee, thanks. You know, Sam, you don't look like an opera singer.
Well, appearances are often deceiving. For instance, you don't look like a jerk.
But I am.
Never mind this now, Cookie. You get up there on the stand. Mr. Thomas wants you to play his accompaniment for him. His music is right here.
Oh, this is a great honor, Mr. Thomas. There's one thing I must know before we get into your number.
What is this?
When you reach a high note, do you want me to play loud and drown you out like I do for Mr. Cantor?
You go ahead, Cookie. Ladies and gentlemen, John Charles Thomas singing Albert Haymalott's Song of the Road.
Listen to the tramp, tramp, tramp of millions of feet. On every high road, by road, and city street. Like an endless cavalcade, they come and they go. Over the hills and into the vales below. The long, long road calling me, misfortune has set me free. I'm on the road to anywhere, let me travel on. With no more load and no more care, just a vagabond. I let the blue sky above me cover my head. Why do I want a feather bed? I'm on the road to anywhere. Let me travel on. Hello, hobo.
Ah, boy.
Here am I, wandering. To let me travel and sing my song of the road, the long, long road, my song of the road.
Let him get away. Head him off.
Head who? What's he done? What is it?
Go on, grab him while I get his autograph.
Look, I just came in from making a few phone calls. I don't know who you're talking about. Who was it?
I don't know. Skip it. Hey, you sign my book, will you?
Second Fiddle Cantor. That's me. Here you are.
Oh, are you Eddie Cantor? I thought you were Uncle Don.
What, Eddie?
Harry, while I was out, I engaged a wonderful singer for my opera company, Enrico Garibaldi. He's marvelous.
Eddie, sensational...
Wait,
this is John Charles Thomas.
Don't interrupt me. I'm trying to find an opera singer.
Wait a minute.
But you don't understand. This Garibaldi is terrific. He's dynamite. He's sensational.
Well, how much are you paying this... What's his name?
$12 a week, and he's also doing my laundry. Look at Harry. I want to tell you, this
Eddie,
man...
Listen, John what? Charles Thomas here wants to work for you. He's a real opera singer.
Is that so?
Yes.
Maybe we can make a deal, Mr. Thomas. But since I've never heard of you, I can only give you $10.
I have heard of you. I only expected $5.
Now, Mr. Thomas, I hope you understand that I can only give you a small part, you see. For the big roles, I can get some famous people. See, I happen to know every important opera star in the business, you know.
Then perhaps you'd like to hire a chap like, say, Lawrence Tibbett.
Oh, Lawrence Tibbett, Tibbett. Tibbett?
Tibbett, everybody Lawrence knows, Tibbett. Everybody on Broadway knows Lawrence Tibbett.
Oh, of course, Lawrence Tibbett, Tibbett, oh, sure. He was in Hell's a Poppin', wasn't he?
His last appearance was with Lily Pons.
Who?
Lily Pons.
Who's he?
Listen, are you sure you know enough about opera to put on your own show?
He wants to know, do I know? Well, of course I know. And what's more, I'll put on every opera. Every opera except the Barber of Seville.
Why? Is there a shortage of singers?
No, a shortage of razor blades.
Eddie, maybe we ought to call the whole thing off.
What? And lose your big chance? Don't be silly, kid. I'm trying to give you a break, boy, see? Appearing in my opera company might even get you a break in pictures.
Oh, I don't think I belong in pictures.
Oh, don't be silly, John. You could be to the movies what I am to radio.
I wouldn't take that from anybody.
I'm serious, John. What has Nelson Eddy got that you haven't got?
Curls.
Look, I... even made me laugh, I know. Look, I can get you in pictures with just your voice. Just hit a high note. Hit one high note. Perhaps that'll impress those movie scouts out there. Very well. The phone. Hello? What? His name is John Charles Thomas. Stop work in the morning. I'll tell him. Goodbye, John. John. John, stop singing. Stop singing. Guess what happened.
What happened? You mean they want me in pictures?
No, LaGuardia wants to use you as an air raid siren.
Well, that's not as silly as it sounds. Right now, I happen to be one of the air wardens at the Metropolitan Opera House.
You, an air raid warden? Opera singers would be lost in an air raid drill. Whenever there's an emergency, you spend half an hour just singing about
what
it.
What do you mean?
I'll show you. Just suppose there's an emergency blackout at the Metropolitan Opera House. The siren has just blown. The warden rushes up the stairs to warn the singers. Racing against time, he frantically knocks on the door.
Hark! Methinks there's someone knocking at the door.
Do not be alarmed, my dear. I fear 'tis something else you hear, for it could be the wind and shutters. It could be the shade that flut. It could be the lightning's roar. It could be the creaking for the lapping waves upon the shore. Not the knocking at our door.
It may be the shutters, the shade that flutters, the creak of the floor, the lightning's roar. But still I fear.
What, my dear? Someone's knocking at the door.
E-I-E-I-O.
Oh, someone's knocking at the door.
E-I-E-I-O.
Tell us, who is knocking at our Mimi door?
Give my urgency, but this shalala is an emergency.
The warden's in a hurry, and his voice is fraught with worry. So perhaps we'd better scurry to the door,
to the door.
The warden's in a hurry, and his voice is fraught with worry. So perhaps we'd better scurry to the door, to the door, to the door, to the door.
Why, Mr. Jones, I thought your son was air raid warden on this floor.
Not anymore. While he was waiting for you to open the door, the kid was drafted.
We shouldn't have kept you so long, Mr. Ward. Go, oh, tell us what is wrong, Mr. Ward.
Oh, there's a blackout going on.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yes, there's a blackout going on.
E-I-E-I-O.
A light on here, light on there. Here a light, there a light, everywhere a light, light. There's a blackout going on.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
So all lights must go off.
No, no, no.
Front and the back out.
No, 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 no.
This is a blackout.
Well, if we obey, you'll
command. If here in darkness we stand, will you, dear sir?
Yes?
Will you, dear sir?
Yes?
If here in darkness we stand, will you hold?
For some time on this program, we've been pointing out that there is a drastic tin shortage in this country, that America needs tin. And we've been asking everyone to help meet that shortage by saving all their empty toothpaste and shave cream tubes and taking them to the tin salvage station at the drugstores. Up to today, that saving of tin tubes was purely voluntary, but now it's required. Last night, the War Production Board issued this order. Beginning today, when anyone goes into a store to buy a tube of toothpaste or shaving cream, they must bring an empty tube in with them, or they can't get a new one. So you see, the retail store is still the tin salvage depot, but this time it's required.
And ladies and gentlemen, just as we've been urging you in the past to save those tubes, we're urging you now to cooperate. Oh, it may be a little bothersome at first to always remember to take tubes to the store when you want to buy toothpaste or shaving cream. That's only human. And if you do forget, don't get mad at your druggist because he won't sell you what you want.
Lovely Dinah Shore singing one of the year's top tunes, How About You?
I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin too. How about you? I like a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it, I like it.
We like it too.
How about you?
Oh, say, Harry Von Zell, where is John Charles Thomas?
Here I am, Eddie. What's up?
I just got a wire from Enrico Tobias Garibaldi. He has offered to sing an entire opera on my program for $2.
$2? Say, Eddie, any opera singer who would work that cheap is an untalented, incompetent fool and a stupid, lame-brained idiot.
How do you do?
Mad Russian. Russian?
Yes,
Russian, I want you. Russian, I want you.
Yes,
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I want you to say hello to John Charles Thomas.
Hello, John. Hello, Charles. Hello, Thomas. Pull up a couple of chairs and sit down.
Thank you. You know, Russian, you look familiar. Haven't I seen your face somewhere in a photo finish?
Oh, don't be insulting, John.
This man is obviously an imposter. Russian, you dare call yourself an opera singer? And you're getting paid $2 for this broadcast?
Jealous, huh?
Mr. Thomas means that you're working perhaps a little too cheap, eh?
Those are my prices.
Yes?
Why, for only a dollar and a half, I'll sing the entire score from that romantic opera, The Flight of the Boiled Potato.
What?
Why, Russian, there is no opera called The Flight of the Boiled Potato.
For a half a buck extra, I'll write it.
Oh, stop it, Russian.
Russian, one must work hard to succeed in opera. You've no idea of the difficulties I encountered. It took me 15 years to reach the Metropolitan Opera House.
Stuck in traffic, eh?
Oh, you don't realize the honor of belonging to the Metropolitan.
But I do, I do.
You do.
7 years I was on the payroll of the Moscow Met.
The Moscow Met.
I was getting a good salary every week until I made the greatest mistake of my singing career.
What did you do?
I sang.
Continue, Russian. What happened after your Moscow debut?
They honored me with a dinner. All the greatest musicians were there. Bach, Beethoven, Mozart.
Wait a minute. Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart are dead.
No wonder they didn't eat so much.
Oh, stop pretending, Russian. You never had any musical education?
Ha ha! Don't say that. To prove that my musical education is not in vain,
yes?
I will show you what I have accomplished in my 11 years of intensive study.
Yes.
Maestro, mine introduction,
yeah,
please.
Do, re, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
What is that?
Do, re, fa, sol.
Wait a minute, Russian. What happened to me? What happened to me?
What happened to you shouldn't happen to our dog.
Oh, you stop that.
Please, Russian, let me hear it complete. Give me the whole scale.
Very well.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, ti.
Wait, now, will you give me your dough?
What is this, a stick-up?
No!
Russian, the trouble with your voice is that you don't practice enough. Tell me, did you ever sing in the bathtub?
Ha, ha, silly boy. Who's got a bathtub?
Yep. You have, Russian. It's that big tub you have in your apartment.
You leave my wife out of this.
No! Well, give up.
Oh, Russian, I'm convinced you know nothing about the opera. But I'm going to help you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to take you to see the Mikado.
The what?
The Mikado. Mikado. Look, Russian.
Yeah?
What do they call the head man in Japan? Who is the man that all the Japanese fear?
General MacArthur.
Well, yeah. All right, come on.
Say, Eddie, about this opera you're putting on. How are you going to raise the money for the production costs?
Listen, I've got a farm and I can raise anything. I've grown a lot of vegetables and I've got a great way to sell them.
How?
I put a big sign over my farm and it says, potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now the time to fall in love. Why, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker gave their price a downward shove. Grab yourself someone to fry your eggs and bacon. She can live just like a queen on what you're making. You'll find in sunshine and trouble, you're better off double. Now's the time to fall in love. I know potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper.
Down on Eddie Cantor's farm.
Fresh greens give you vigor, string beans make you bigger, carrots give your figure charm. After spinach, you're a miniature Gene Tunney. Every muscle sprout from Brussels sprouts and honey. Why, with my cauliflower, you'll out of Thai power.
Down on Eddie Cantor's farm.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been awfully nice. I want to ask you to join us again next week, ladies and gentlemen, when we have as our special guest that very glamorous star of stage, screen, and radio, Miss... And believe me, you don't often hear her on the air, do you? Meantime, don't forget the two products that make these Wednesdays together possible. Eye panel for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. I, Panna? Sal Hepatica. And so, remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you. As friend to friend, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way.
The Eddie Cantor Show, otherwise known as It's Time to Smile, from April 1st, 1942 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonnier. Thanks for tuning in.